Gospel chapter 5. Felt like when I went to bed last night that I had no idea that I would preach again today. I didn't know that till I got here, but this thought was on my heart, John chapter 5. And so if you'll turn there with us, we'll try to obey the Lord, give you what God has given unto us. It's good to see folks that we've served the Lord with through the years. Some of you I don't know, and first time that I've met you. First time I'd met the pastor when I got in here last night, talked with him on the phone a few times. But I appreciate somebody's got a heart to do something for the Lord. And what an opportunity here in this area. We live out in the middle of nowhere. Our church is very in a very rural area. When we first went there, there was just a couple of restaurants in our county seat, and that was about it. But we had our first red light put in the whole county. You know, I think about 6 or 8 years ago, they turned it on, had two wrecks within 1 hour, amen. So I'm serious. We're in the country. But I thank the Lord for where God's put us to serve Him. I'm not complaining about that. I thank God for, amen, the country where the Lord's put us. But it's good to be here. We have a meeting. Can I announce my meeting, brother? We have a Jubilee meeting the week before Easter Sunday. Basically, it's a two-day Jubilee, Thursday and Friday. The week before Easter, and we'd invite you to come there, and we'll put you up, get you a motel room, won't cost you anything, feed you good, hear some great preaching. We'll have normally have a service on Thursday afternoon at 3, a couple of preachers, and then have a meal and then a service that night, and then start at Friday at 12 and have preaching through the day and then a meal and service that night. The Lord's put His hand on that meeting. We thank the Lord for it. We have folks come from everywhere. A number of years ago, Brother Terry Pace started preaching throughout the week, so he actually starts with us on that Monday night and preaches for us, and then Brother Raines, of course, been there for years, and others as well. Can't get Brother Jones to come. I have to have a special invitation for him to come, amen. I know he's busy, but anyway, we do appreciate the meeting and how God's used it through the years. We'd invite you to maybe mark that, give us a call. You have to get your reservations in soon. We put you in a nice place to stay, and you have to drive about 15, sometimes 30 minutes. It's away from the church, but that's just because we're out in the country. We'll try to take care of you, and we'd enjoy your fellowship in the meeting. John's Gospel, chapter 5, I'll read 14 verses, and I'll speed right through what God has laid on my heart this morning, and trust the Lord to use it to be a help to us. Amen. The last time we was in meeting with the Smiths, we were in camp meeting there in South Carolina. Brother Robbie and his family were singing. Jonathan was playing the piano. And I don't know exactly what happened, but they were up there. Of course, there was the wall all the way around. And Robbie was singing, and they were singing, and it kind of got on. Folks got to shout, and all of a sudden, Robbie was going to take a step and shout, and he just vanished. I mean, he looked like the floor fell out from under him. I mean, I seen 1 foot, I think, fly up in the air. And when he did, it kind of jerked Miss Kathy's microphone cord, and she snatched him, and she looked at him like, "What is wrong with you?" And just kept on singing, amen. My wife had to leave. She come back in the church twice and had to walk back out. Amen. She laughing so much. Amen. Strange things happen in camp meetings, don't they? Amen. Anyway, we appreciate the memories of serving the Lord with some of these folks. John's Gospel, chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. I don't know how this fits with what's been preached. I don't think anything could fit with the first one anyway. But anyway, amen, I enjoyed that. Thank God for preaching. Amen. Verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." Then asked they him, "What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Verse 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." Let's pray together. Father, help us, I pray in Jesus' name. Father, that the word of God would truly again be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I pray that you would anoint us to preach this morning. Give us the direction that we need in the word of God. I pray you'd instruct us in righteousness that we might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I pray, Father, that truly we'd leave this place, Lord, experiencing a changed heart. Thank you for feeding my soul this morning in the word of God. Thank you for these men of God, their labor, their faithfulness, Father. Through the years, they've pastored, they've been in evangelism, they've given their life to serve you. And Father, I appreciate, Lord, their life, their testimony, and their walk with God. And I pray you'd further bless every family and man of God that's in this place. May, Lord, the word of God give us light today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We understand that when we step into the New Testament, it's familiar to all of us that there has been 400 years of silence. There has been no prophet. There's been no vision. There's been no message from God. Yet unveiled in that dark time, there is a manifestation of the mercy of God represented in the story that is before us in John's Gospel, chapter number 5. God would not leave himself without a witness. And I thank God for the testimony of this text this morning, understanding the condition that our world is in today. When I consider my grandchildren and their future, and the children that are a part of the families of the Pleasant View Baptist Church. Now understand that Bethesda is the word means house of mercy. And when I see the manifestation of the mercy of God in John's Gospel chapter number 5, I realize that our world is dark. I realize that there is universal deadness spiritually in our land. And truly, without doubt, there is despair spiritually in the world that is around us. I'm thankful when I consider 400 years. I can't fathom that in my mind. But when I consider that here in our text, there has been 400 years of silence. There has been no move of God. There has been no message from God. There has been no reality of a prophet in the lives of God's people as we know it. And we consider this story, yet God moves and the mercy of God is manifested. And that within itself is an encouragement and a strength to my heart. With that being said this morning, I want us to look at the story that is before us. And in verse number 14 and the latter part of that verse, I want to preach today where Jesus told the man that was impotent there at the pool after he had healed him. He said, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. I want to preach for a minute this morning with the Lord's help on what could be worse. What could be worse? I want you to think about the story when I consider the situation of this story that is presented to us in the Gospel of John. In the first 4 verses, I see a man that is waiting. 38 years, the Bible said, this man had waited at the pool. We know that without question this man is waiting, and while he's waiting, he's hurting the pain and the affliction that the condition that he was in had brought him. He has been hurting for 38 years. He's handicapped. He can do nothing for himself. No doubt somebody had to bring him food and water. Somebody had to come and tend to his needs as he lay there for 38 years by this pool. And he was a man that was handicapped, that needed the aid of those around him. I don't know, he may have had a dad, a mother, I don't know, maybe a brother or a sister or an acquaintance in life that would throughout the course of the day maybe bring him some food, bring him something that would sustain him for another day. But as he lay there for 38 years waiting, he lay there hurting and handicapped. He was helpless. The Bible tells us that no man would help him when the water was troubled. No one would help him get into the water to get the help that he needed. And so he was seemingly on his own. There was no one there that would give him the help that he needed. And so we can truly say, when we look at this situation, prior to Jesus, the Son of God coming into this man's life, we would all say, this is a hopeless situation. This is a hopeless case. This man's been waiting here for 38 years. No doubt the first year he waited with great anticipation, and maybe the pain wasn't as quite as intense. Maybe his handicap didn't weigh much on his mind, and the fact that people ignored him maybe wasn't so bad. But the next year rolled around, and then another year, and then another year, and years and years and years, until this man had laid here for 38 years. Now I want to ask you a question. You tell me, what could be worse than that? Yet Jesus said to him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. I see a man wanting. I see in the first four verses of our text a man that is waiting for 38 years. Then, verse 5 and 6, the Bible said, a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The question is posed to him. Jesus sees him there lying, and Jesus sees the condition that he's in and knows, because of his sovereignty, that he had been there a long time. There he is, wanting something to happen. You know what he was wanting? He was wanting the water to move. He wanted that water to move so that he could get in and get the help that he needed. I'm going to tell you something. The water did move. He knew the water would one day move, and he longed for it. He tried to crawl in from one year to the next, and he wasn't able to get the help that he needed. But he'd go back somewhere and settle in for another year. A month would roll around. A day would roll around. Maybe he's trying to keep up with it some way. Tally up the days. Tally up the months. He's longing for the day that once again that water would move. He wants it to move. He thirsts for it to move. He's hungry for it to move. He wants to be made whole. He desires to have a complete body that would function. He wants God's touch in his life. He don't want to lay around like he's laid around. He desires to be able to walk. He desires to be able to work. He wants to live a normal, healthy, fulfilled life. And he desires that water to move so that he can have the help that he needs. And for 38 years, he's laid there with a hunger, with a thirst, and with a desire burning within his soul, such a want, such a drive, that has kept him there in that same place day after day, month after month, year after year. Could you tell me this morning what would be worse than that? Can you imagine wanting something so bad, desiring something so intensely, that you would lay there for 38 years, hoping your dream one day would be fulfilled. Yet year after year, year after year, never seeing it happen, never seeing it take place, dreaming of walking away one day, dreaming in your mind of being able to live a normal life, dreaming within your soul that the pain would go away, that the handicap would be taken away, yet wanting it so bad that you would stay in that place. Jesus said, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. What could be worse than waiting 38 years? What could be worse than wanting something to take place for 38 years and never seeing it happen? Verse number 7. The Bible said, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Can you picture and envision this situation and this story in reality in your mind? The impotent man, he says, I have nobody to help me. These waters get troubled. Nobody will put me into the water. Someone always steps in front of me. And right before I can get in the water ceases to be troubled. Can you imagine working that hard? This man is impotent. I don't know where he situated himself around that pool. Maybe he tried to find a place of comfort, knowing that at each time the water was troubled and then ceased, that he would have to live there for another year. I don't know, but the Bible indicates to us that he laid there for a long time. Jesus says that he laid there for a long time. He can't walk. I don't know if he's paralyzed from the waist down. I don't know what kind of condition that he's in. But I do know that this man did everything he could in his own power to get into that water. I don't know if he's crawling and using his arms and his elbows and digging with his fingers as the angel enters into that water and the water is troubled at that season of the year. And he begins to dig and to grab and to crawl. Sweat beads of sweat are rolling off his brow, and he's crawling and he's digging and he's using every ounce of energy that he gets in to try to get into that water. He looks up to someone as those that are impotent and those that are faced with infirmity are passing him by. Would you please help me? Would you lend a hand? I'm doing all I can. Would you please help me? Would you drag me? Would you get me in that water this time? Nobody helps him. He's trying with every ounce and every fiber of his being, every ounce of strength within his impaired, handicapped body. He's trying to get into that pool. He's trying to get there to get the help that he needs. Working, laboring, crawling and dragging. I'm coming! I'm coming! Just a little while longer. Just a little while longer. Oh God, let the water be troubled just a little while longer. Oh God, just a few more seconds. Just a few more inches. Just a few more steps. Oh Lord, please don't let the angel leave. And right at the brink of the water, as others have passed him by, he sweated. His energy has depleted. He's breathing intensely. He's used every ounce of strength to try to get into that water. He has worked and done everything he can. But the water stops moving. Could you tell me today, what in the world could be worse than that? Waiting for 38 years? Wanting something to happen more than you've ever wanted anything else in your life? And work working intensely, laboring as hard and as intense as you possibly could to see the reality of that take place. Handicapped, hurting, helpless, but not ever seeing it happen. Year after year, 38 long years. What would be worse than that? Jesus said, lest a worse thing come unto thee. You've laid here for 38 years, and I know how much you wanted it. You've laid here for 38 years in the condition that you're in. And you've longed to be touched and to be healed by the hand of God. But there are things worse. I begin to think about that. I read this text. I've read through this text numerous times. I've preached through the book of John twice in the 28 years I've pastored the church and tried to look at things in a different light. But I just coming through my Bible reading and I read that verse, brother, and I thought, what in the world? What in the world is being said there? What in the world could be worse than what this man is facing? What could be worse than what he has dealt with for 38 years? I'm going to tell you what would be worse. Number one, no troubling at all. That would be worse. Still waters atop of the Word of God. It is the mirror that reveals unto us and reproves us and condemns us. We see that through the laver in the Old Testament. The mirror of God's Word reflects who we are and what we really are as we look into the perfect law of liberty. Yet we know this morning that moving water is a type of the Spirit of God. It is a type of life, of vibrant and the reality of life. It turns the truth that condemns and judges us into a well that is springing up into eternal life. Amen. The mirror of God's Word, when we look into it, it condemns, it declares us guilty before God. It reveals unto us the condition of our soul. Yet when the Spirit of God takes this book that condemns and it becomes a sword of the Spirit, it pierces into our heart. And thank God it brings life. It brings something that is vibrant and that is real to us. And that water, when it was troubled there in this man's life, represented life that would be manifest in his life. No troubling would be worse. Can you imagine there hearing the story somewhere? Somebody told him and said, hey, that pool of Bethesda, there once a year, that water's troubled. And when that water is troubled, we don't understand how it gets troubled. We just believe an angel from heaven comes down and troubles it. But there's been blind people get in that pool. There's been crippled people get in that pool. There's been people that were faced with affliction and infirmity get in that pool. And every time they got in there, they'd been made whole. And you heard that story 38 years ago, and you walked down there, took you a bed and a pillow and a bag of something to eat and some water to drink, and said, I'm going to stay here till that water is troubled and I'm going to get the help I need. Yet a year passes by and the water never is troubled. Another year passes by and the water's never troubled. Year after year after year after year after year, you lay there needing the water to be troubled, hearing that it has been troubled, wanting it to be troubled, but it's never troubled. Yes, he lay there 38 years, but he knew that if he could just get in when that water was troubled, he was made whole. Preacher, I couldn't have laid there 38 years. I'm telling you, you probably couldn't lay there 38 years if the waters never were troubled. But I'm telling you, if you've laid there and you've seen a blind man walk out of there with his eyes open and you see a lame man walk out of there, praise God, made whole, and you had an infirmity and you had a need and you knew that one time a year, that water would be troubled, thank God, I'm telling you, you'd lay there and you'd long for it and you'd hope for it
and you had wished for it and you had prayed for it. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest for your soul. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. I know we're living in the last days, and I know it's dark, and I know there's much despair. There'd be days when a building like this would be packed, and the parking lot would be full. And I mean, we come in here, Brother Donnie, and we sit down, and I know that our mind runs back to days when we've seen buildings filled with people who are looking for God to move. And I'm telling you, it seems like there's a silence that has gripped this land. But I'm telling you, thank God, represented in this room right here are people that's been in places where the water had been troubled. You go to meeting after meeting, you preach Sunday after Sunday, and you long for God to move. You long for God to work. You long for God to stir the hearts of the people of God again. And the thing that drives us, the things that move us, the things that cause that hunger and thirst to work in our lives is the reality that we know that God is able to trouble the waters. Amen. Jesus said in Revelation, he said, if you'll open that door, I'll sup with you. Yeah. Now that word, you study that word, and that word is derived from the word supper. Yeah. Now I'm from the South, the deep South, and we never really eat lunch. We eat breakfast, dinner, and supper. And really, supper is the chief meal. And we can sit here and we can long for the days of the apostles. We can long for the days of Moody and Spurgeon. And we can live in a depressed, listen to me now, we can live in a depressed state longing for that kind of move and that kind of day. But I'm going to tell you what, they probably eat breakfast and dinner, and the chief meal is awaiting the people of God. I'm telling you, you be faithful over a few things, and I'll make you ruler over many. I don't believe there's been a greater day. Praise God, I believe I can jump over a wall, run through a troop, or jump over a troop, run through a wall. I'm telling you, thank God this is supper time. And if you'll just be faithful in the midst of a dead world, God will show you something like he showed Simeon. He'll show you the consolation of Israel. If you'll just be faithful, thank God the water's been troubled before. I'm going to tell you what would be worse now. It'd be worse if there's people in this building and all you heard was stories. And you boys right here, maybe all you've heard is stories. But there's men in this building tonight that goes beyond the story. Amen. They're here tonight, been preaching for 50-something years, been faithful for all these years, and they've labored all these years. Amen. It's not because of some story they heard. It's because of what they've saw. It's because of what they've experienced. It's because of what God has done in their heart and life. 38 years, no troubling. I'm going to tell you what would be worse. No truth. The truth was, if anybody got in that water, they were made whole. But what if it was all just a made-up legend? Just a tradition of the past that somebody fabricated in their mind. But the truth was, the water was there. And listen, are you, the truth was, the water was there. The truth was, is the water moved. Amen. And the truth was, people were made whole. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad for that hope and promise this afternoon. Hallelujah. I still got the water. And praise God, it's alive and it moves. And somebody can embrace that book in their heart and let the power of the gospel move in their soul. And I'm telling you, thank God,
It'll change them. It'll heal them. It'll make them whole.
But I'll tell you what, it'd be worse if we was up here preaching from a book. Can you imagine standing in a church that is represented, that represents Islam? Can you imagine standing in a Jehovah's Witness building today and telling something from their book? Could you imagine standing in a Mormon church and giving your life, preaching and indoctrinating people with things that are not real? But thank God this morning, what we got's alive, what we got is real. Praise God, it's not a fable, it's not a fairy tale, but thank God it's the truth, and it exists, and it's changed lives.
Hallelujah. You can look at the lives that God has changed right here in this building. Sometimes we think they are all past help. I've thought about that. Even here in recent days, God has helped me in the past few days seeing somebody get right with the Lord. Amen. They went too far. I don't know how far it is between give me and make me. Well, there's a message in that. When the prodigal son said, give me, and then he said, make me, I don't know how far that is. It's a far country. I don't know how far that is. But I'm going to tell you something today. Sometimes I think they've gone too far. There's no way they could ever get victory over the sin that they're in. Then I'm reminded that here's a man that waited for 38 years. Here's a man that was hurting, that was handicapped, and that was hopeless, and nobody helped him. But thank God Jesus passed by and changed his life.
Hallelujah. I'll tell you what could be worse. No trouble could be worse. No truth would be worse. Then no trying. That would be worse. Can you imagine laying there for 38 years? The waters being troubled. Not making any effort to try to even get in.
Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I gather thy children as a hen doth gather her chicks?
He would not. That's no trying. I would have, but you would not. There are people in our churches, we try to preach with fervency and power, try to tell them what God could and what God would do for them. That week after week, they sit on our pews and they turn us off. They don't listen to what we're saying. They turn and walk out of a building to go into a carnal world and be influenced by its course. Fulfill the desires of their mind. Walk down the path of pleasure and sin. And refrain their mind or restrain their mind and their heart from acting upon the truth. And I know it's taxing on you spiritually. It's taxing on a man of God when it comes to those that seem to refuse to walk in that truth. But I'm glad, thank God, that this man tried to get in. Amen. Jesus said, there's a worse thing that can happen to you, sir. And the worst thing is that you lay here and there's no trouble. The worst thing is there'd be no truth. What you've seen would be unreal. It'd be worse, sir, if you had no power or no desire to even try. That's blindness, brother. The preacher read these verses to us this morning, and something jumped off there. He said, we understand this is a Davidic covenant that's being described there, a covenant that God was going to establish with David concerning his kingdom. But he said in reference to Solomon, he said, I'll chasten him. He said, but my mercy will always be there. But that's not all it said. It said not as it was with Saul.
Amen.
Now, I know we don't want to talk about that. But I'm telling you what, God took his mercy from Saul.
Right.
This is the house of mercy.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you something about that house of mercy. They can't but one person open that door up and that's the God of heaven. Amen. And I'm glad he has extended his mercy to us. Amen. Wilt thou be made whole, Bethesda? Again, it's the house of mercy. And you may have the right and the opportunity to open up a lot of doors in your life, but only the Lord can open the door of this house. But I'm glad to report to you this morning that the Bible tells us that his mercies are great. His mercies are rich. His mercies are manifold. His mercies are plenteous. His mercies are abundant. His mercies are sure. His mercies are everlasting. His mercies are tender. His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are high as the heaven. His mercies fill the earth. His mercies are over all of his works. This morning, God has opened the door of the house of mercy. God, help us in America to not find our place in the state that Saul was in. I don't know what's beyond me. You've got give me, and you've got make me. But there is a give up on. We don't like to talk about that, but it's in there. I don't know where we're at right between these two points. Amen. But I wish, and I'm preaching collectively this morning. You know where my heart is, I hope. I'm preaching this morning that I wish wherever we're at here that our churches and our country would come to the place of make me. Just make me. What could be worse? It could be worse if we lived in a country where we have a meeting like this and there's nobody here. There's not many here, but it don't take a whole lot. God turned the world upside down with 12. Don't take a whole lot. Isaiah talks about the remnant. If it had not been for the remnant, we would have been like Sodom and like as in Gomorrah. And a remnant, and it didn't say just if it wasn't for the remnant, Brother Lockson, it says in Isaiah, if it wasn't for a very small remnant. It says very small remnant. So it don't take a whole lot, so don't get too discouraged, amen. I know about you, but the water's troubled this morning for me. The Word of God came alive in my heart while I was preaching it. It may not have meant nothing to you, but praise God, it'll cause me to drive on down the road, get in the pulpit of the Pleasant View Baptist Church come Wednesday night and preach another message, amen. Tell the story once again of Jesus and his love, thank God. What could be worse? No truth, no troubling, no trying. But I'm glad the door to the house of mercy is open this morning. Thank you for letting me be here, Richard.